Happy Friday, everybody. We're getting ready to head down to Walt Disney World to talk to Pam on location. Ricky's here as well. We're recapping the Pandora preview weekend, talking about all the madness and the great stuff that Walt Disney World has in store for your next Walt Disney World vacation. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. And let's face it, right now is a great time to plan a last-minute summer getaway down to Walt Disney World. With the Happily Ever After fireworks, that new projection show at the studios that just popped up, you have Pixar Live with an orchestra, and of course, all the fun and glory of Pandora. Hey, it's a great time to check out Walt Disney World. There's still some specials out there. There is availability. There's even restaurant ADRs ready to go. So just contact an agent over at the Magic for Less. Drop by themagicforless.com. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. And you and I will be working together right away, planning an awesome Walt Disney World vacation. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1179 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, for BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you, which maybe feels like a Thursday, but don't worry, tomorrow is Saturday, so all is good. We've got your podcast here, and we've got a special one because we are recording with Pam. She's live right now in, I should say, the Coronado Springs Resort down there at Walt Disney World, checking out one of the new renovated rooms. We have Ricky as well. She sounds, well, we'll let you hear her in just a second. So let's introduce the crew. We're all back together to talk some Pandora. This is bad for me because I'm trying to stay spoiler-free, but I guess the visuals will have to wait. I'll have to hear about all the good stuff today,
Yes. Just
like you. So here we go. Joining us from down in Atlanta, Georgia, she's from themouseforless.com, a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, and touringplans.com, souped up on the bronchitis medicine. We have Ricky. You got the post-Disney crud is what you've got.
I got the current while I was in Disney crud. So, yeah, I've had a fun past few, days, but, it's been all right. So I'm on meds now. It's all good. It's all good.
That's right. Raise your hand. Get this real quick. If you've ever gotten home from a Walt Disney World vacation and you have something that you did not leave with, and that's exactly what I get. You get so run out. You guys were running hard and doing stuff. Yeah. So that's what you get,
We were. Yes. It was definitely work, but it was fun work. But it definitely ran me ragged, that's for sure. So
well, we're gonna talk about everything that you got.
Pam made me get up early. People will have noticed I was up early almost every single day, and I made like rope drop just about every single day because I was Pam Forrester. So
that's what happens though when you go hard. It's like go hard or go home, or go home sick. They should say, I guess, because
So really, this is all Pam's fault.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, blame it on Pam. All right. Also joining us again, she is live from Building 7A at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort in the Ranchos. In case you're there right now, go beat on all the doors in that particular building. We have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less. Hey, Pam, you're living the good life.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's been a great week. I did make Ricky get up early. We did so many awesome things. And it's just, when you're down here, you feel like you got to fit it all in. What I'm hoping is that when I go home, Ricky, the little Ebola monkey, did not give me what she has been
I'm really hoping I didn't, too. Yes, oh, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So anyways, I sprayed myself down Lysol every time.
I hope you did.
I walked away from Ricky, sprayed down, and then moved on. So
yes.
Anyways, but yes. Yes. So exciting. We have so much exciting things to talk about, but I guess we're starting with Pandora. You'll just have to plug your ears on some of it, Mike.
Yeah. Yes. I'll be back in 35 minutes. No, seriously, I want to hear about it because, of course, you're on social media, you see the stuff, and I try to avoid the like hardcore spoilers of what the experiences are like at Flights of Passage and the river journey with the Na'vi and all that, you know. And of course, what I was looking at from a person who was not there as I was finishing up school and taking care of stuff back here at home was, you know, did my big, you know, the big question I wanted to see answer over the past weekend was, you know, what's the immediate reaction to Pandora opening? Was this initially going to be something that was a boom or a bust? Were people excited about it? Of course, the media is going to be excited because they bring them down and, you know, the people who have a stake in it. But when it really opened to the general public and they started getting the crowds at first day, were there crowds? And the question is yes. So let's kind of take a step back. And Ricky, give me your first impression on, you know, the Pandora experience from the AP preview through the weekend where it opened to the general public.
Yeah, so obviously I had been there for the annual pass holder preview, and my first experience, it was when they did it for the annual pass holder preview, they had it still blocked off, the wall was still up, so you literally had to go through a doorway to get to Pandora. So, you know, it was really like you were leaving because you're going through the door to Pandora. So, you know, as we walked across the bridge, my first thought was just what I thought it would be of, wow, this is beautiful. You know, Disney did just a gorgeous job with building Pandora, the landscapes, the, you know, the floating mountains, the, you know, all of it is just very detailed and very colorful and lush. I think that's the best word to use to describe it. The whole land itself just feels very lush and colorful. And that's the part that I really enjoyed. And it really did, you know, as I was, you know, walking through the land through the whole course of the day, you know, it really did fit in with Disney's Animal Kingdom. You know, that was one of my worries because obviously it's Pandora. It's based off this movie that's clearly not a Disney movie. And so, you know, I was worried, you know, how is this going to appear in the actual Animal Kingdom? And there were definitely spots where I would be in a place and I would be like, this reminds me of this at, say, you know, like the Satuli Canteen reminded me a lot of something you would see at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. You know, like it reminded me of a restaurant there, actually. So, like, you really got pieces of Disney's Animal Kingdom and Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge in Pandora. Like, they really did a good job of melding the two, I thought.
And that's a good point, because I think that's a lot of folks, especially those folks that are invested in Walt Disney World, who've been there many, many times. And we've seen Animal Kingdom even, you know, rise from the ground over the past, you know, decade or so. That how does this new land fit in with the overall experience at Animal Kingdom Park? So, Pam, speak to that in your first impressions, because you had something in your mind's eye of what you were expecting to see from the, you know, the artist renderings and then the pictures on social media. But what was it like that first taste?
So it's funny because I really, when they first announced Pandora many, many years ago, whenever, how long ago was that? But
anyways, eons, eons ago.
Something like that.
When they first talked about this, I will be the first to admit, I was not really excited about it. I just was trying to wrap my head around how it fit in. Wasn't really excited about it. It was about a movie that had already happened and happened quite a while ago. And I just was worried about how this was going to play in with the rest of Disney's Animal Kingdom. But I can tell you that about a year, year and a half ago, when we had taken a bunch of our agents down there during the education program, they actually did a presentation for us and showed us basically the diorama of this and spoke to us about it. And it was at that point I started getting excited about it. And then as little things were released, you know, you heard a little bit about, well, this is what it's going to be like riding the Banshee. And this is, you know, what it's going to be like doing this. Here's what it's going to look like at night. Then, you know, that excitement starts to build. And I can tell you during the previews when we walked in, it was really a seamless experience for me. It fit right in to Disney's Animal Kingdom. The lushness of it, I really thought to myself, you know, when there's something new at Disney World, the trees are small and they aren't offering a lot of shade and it just, you know, seems all kind of new. This felt, like Ricky said, very lush, like incredibly lush, like it had been there for a while. The floating mountains that we've all been seeing from afar were spectacular. In fact, I heard many, many guests say, how did they do that? Like, how are the mountains floating? You know what I mean? And really looking at that, because it really is an awesome feature of that land. It feels like it's always been there, but it still feels new and exciting, if that makes sense. And I was just incredibly pleased with the result.
So, and that makes me feel so good because, you know, the thing for me, the more I go to Walt Disney World, the more it's about the environment and less about the attractions. You know, I want everything to fit in and tell a story and be somewhere that I can walk around and enjoy being in a place that I've never been or a place that I enjoy going back to that I can't go to in the real world. That's what Walt Disney World vacations have turned into for me. Of course, the attractions are a bonus. So let's kind of break the show. Unfortunately, we only got like 40 minutes. So let's break this show, particular show, and we'll revisit this, of course, over the next few months. But let's break it into the environment and also the Flights of Passage and the Navi River Journey, because we have lots of folks in our Facebook Live right now who are going down in the next month, 2 months, 3 months. They want to know how to get the most out of this new experience, because nobody has prior knowledge. Nobody knows what to do. So let's start Flights of Passage first. Ricky, what were your overall impressions of this, and how can we make sure, what should people know about? Because I saw the video you guys made together and it was awesome. I appreciate you guys putting that on Facebook, the tips. But, you know, for those that didn't catch it, tell us about Flights of Passage and how to make that a great experience for everybody.
So Flights of Passage, it's basically, I know that there's been a lot of hubbub about it, and I'm going to try to quell your fears a little bit about Flights of Passage. It's not what you're thinking. It's not as limiting as you think it is, or, you know, scary as you think it is. Like, it really isn't all bad. So it's unlike anything you've ever done at a Walt Disney World theme park before. So first we'll go through the queue. The queue is immensely themed. I mean, it is, I think, you know, we've done those best queue shows before, and mm-hmm. I think this one is like the top, don't you think, Pam? I mean,
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
This is the awesome. This is the top themed queue Disney's ever done, like, for sure. They definitely hit a home run with this one. No ifs, ands, or buts. It is. It's got different themes as you go throughout it as well. So, like, you start, you know, I don't want to spoil too much, but, like, you start with going through the outside, and then you enter into, you know, some of the I think it's a camp base, you know, where they used to do experiments and stuff, and you wind your way through, and then you head to the Link Chambers, which is where they're doing the I don't want to say experiment, but they're linking your brain to the brain of a Navi, so that you can actually go and fly on a Banshee and experience what it's like to actually fly in a Banshee.
So let me stop you there for a second. I saw 5 minutes of Avatar this weekend with Scott at his hotel. We were all hanging out together in St. Louis for Memorial Day. That's the section I saw. Like, some dude was in like a tanning bed, and then all of a sudden he was like in a rodeo, like trying to wrestle the Mustang, the flying Banshee thing. And then they were flying. I was like, that's the ride. That's got to be the ride right there. Yeah. So I was like, I knew it. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I've only seen Avatar once, and then like 15 minutes we saw at Old Key West this weekend, Pam, something like that. So you get into the. So there's basically two pre-shows for Flight of Passage. There's one where they link you into what your avatar will look like, and you have to, you know, do some movements and stuff like that, and then they'll link you that way. And then there's another room where they basically tell you kind of what the whole purpose of the connecting with the Banshee is like, and how important that is in the Navi culture and stuff like that. So that's kind of what they're doing. There's two pre-shows before you get into the main theater. The bikes, they are like bikes, essentially. That's why I said it's like unlike anything that we have in the States. I'm not sure how close that it resembles like what they have with the Tron bikes in Shanghai, but it's sort of like that, where you really do get on. For girls, I wear dresses. So I wear shorts under my dress, and this is one of those reasons why.
I do
because
too.
Because you never
I
know
sure
what
that,
you're going to
yeah.
be doing.
I always have my shorts on under my dress, just to be safe.
I mean, you should have your shorts on under your dress. So, you know, I always wear shorts, and this is one of the reasons why. Because you have to straddle the seat in order to sit down on it.
And, couldn't you go like 1800 style and go side saddle? Would that not work?
No, you could not.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm. Have to straddle the seat. We will explain why this is very important in a second. So you straddle the seat, and then, so just like you would a bike, and then there's these like handlebar things that you hold on to. And the part that people seem to have the most issue with, or that's been reported that they're having the most issue with, is actually, so there's the safety harness that keeps you on the bike is actually both on your calves. So there's two like wings that come out and hold your calves in place. And then there's a back harness that holds your back in place. The back harness, like if you just know, like here's my tip. Don't push your stomach up all the way against the front part of the harness, because if you do, then when the back like don't push it up like tight. You know what I'm saying? Like get it up there, but don't push it tight like I did the first time. Because once the back harness comes up, then you are sandwiched in between it, and then you can't really move very well. Like I realized, oh hey, I have to sit up. You know, like I normally slouch all day, so I have to sit up like straight. You know, so just give yourself a little wiggle room if you can. The part that people seem to really have trouble with though is the calves, and it's really not necessarily. I think what the issue is that people aren't scooting their feet up all the way. You really have to have your foot scooted up all the way as far as you can go to touch the front of the bike. I really noticed that that's been the problem. And you know, I've heard that if guys wear flip-flops, that actually has helped. If guys, if you stand, like, kind of point your tiptoes, that has helped. If you kind of scoot your knees up to your chest, that kind of, like, you can't picture it until you're sitting on the bike. But, like, those, like, three things have really helped people to get themselves in there if they're having issues. And I know Pam, you know, we saw a guy that was having an issue on the bike, and he wasn't like a big guy, like, mm-hmm. right? He was kind of...
No, he wasn't. And I think that's like some of the issues. I know that there's been some reports that like people, you know, that this won't accommodate all sizes. And while I guess that is true, I think it's going to accommodate the majority of folks that there's just, you know, that there's so much that you can do to try to make yourself fit into there. We saw, like Ricky said, people were having trouble with the calves. And I think basically the restraints are like, think about like when you're sitting on the vehicle, like the back of your chair then comes up to meet you and keeps you in there. Well, and then the restraints behind your calves are kind of like the same thing. They're just kind of flaps that come up that help keep you in there. But like Ricky said, the cast members are really good at working with guests to try to make sure that they'll have a good experience. And in addition, there is a test seat now outside the attraction. I know during some of the previews there was not. But just try to work with your cast member. I mean, the thing that I was really most concerned about when I was experiencing flight of passes was the fact that I have huge issues with simulator kind of rides. I get motion sickness. Star Tours, unfortunately, although I love it, is really not something I do very often because it usually means I'm going to have a headache and feel horrible the rest of the day. It's just one of those things that seems to happen to people who get older, even though I don't think I'm getting any older. But anyways, that's for another show. So I was worried about this, but I figured, you know what, I'm going to try it. It does have 3D glasses, so you do have those on during the experience. There is a huge screen in front of you, Soarin' style. So I think one of the things that I tried to do is, first of all, during the first part of the attraction, when the attraction starts, there is kind of something that helps you link with your Ekron, with your Banshee. And that to me was, it like kind of threw me off a little more than anything the rest of it. So you might want to close your eyes throughout like the first 5 seconds of the attraction, and you'll know when it's over, because then the screen opens up in front of you and you can do a few things to help yourself if you're feeling any kind of motion sickness. One of the things that really helped me was to look toward the horizon. I won't describe too much about it, but you're seeing a great, big, beautiful, expansive screen. So look toward the farthest point and kind of keep yourself centered there. Lean in a little bit. There's a lot of cool air that's blowing on you, and that will help keep that thing, the nausea or any kind of motion sickness away. And in addition, I think one of the things that starts to happen once you start feeling a little motion sickness symptoms is that you kind of fight the turns. Like you fight the vehicles instead, or you fight the vehicle and the movement that it's making. I say try to go with it. Lean into the turns, like really experience it. And that, you know, helps me a lot. And if all else fails, close your eyes for a little bit. The movement of the actual vehicle that you're riding on is not so much that I think it's going to give many people motion sickness issues. It's really the whole package where you're moving with the screen and things like that. So hopefully that will help.
So Carol, hang on, Ricky, one second, because I'm going to ask Pam this real quick while we're thinking about it. Now, Carol in the Facebook live chat's asking about, is the ride jerky or is it smooth? Because, you know, it sounds like you're pretty restrained. I mean, obviously, if it leans, I don't want you sliding off a bike or like a speeder bike kind of thing. But is it smooth?
It's very smooth. It's very smooth. It really does a great job doing what it said it was going to do.
It does. And it is.
Makes you feel like you're riding on the back of the Banshee.
It makes you feel like you're flying. I mean, you know, as close as we're going to get to flying in real life, you know, without jumping out of an airplane or something, but you're really not flying, you're falling. Yeah. You know, I would much rather do this, trust me. Really does make you feel like you're flying on the back of something because you feel it breathe, like you can feel it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it as much, but, you know, you can mildly feel it breathing a little bit. And I was on one of my rides, I was on the side of number one, so like I was all the way on the end. I took myself out of it for a few minutes because I wanted to see, you know what I'm saying? So, but you really, even though if you're on the far side, it's not like Soarin' where you get distorted and you can see the outside of something, you know, you can see the outside of the screen or another set of rows next to you or whatever like that. It really does keep you pretty well good. The other thing they fixed is it is like Soarin'. So it's got like four different rows of people. And it really is like the Soarin' ride when you look at it. Like, cause I said I looked at it cause I wanted to see kind of how it worked. The other thing is they fixed it so that, you know how Soarin', the Eiffel Tower is leaning, even though it's not supposed to be. Everything is straight. Everything is the way it should be. You know, so there's no like leaning or skewing of the screen either, which is a big help, I think, as well. So, and there are smells in there. I will tell you that. So. Awesome. I won't tell you what they are, but
don't, because we want to make it, you know, relatively spoiler free. Because I think you guys just did a great job of what to expect, how to best get the, you know, because the thing is, you're gonna, even with a fast pass, you're gonna wait a bit of time, and if you don't have a fast pass, you're gonna wait an eternity. Right now, of course, we're hoping that'll go down.
Crazy. If you have a fast pass, you're gonna bypass most of the line.
Yes.
So the only way that you're gonna experience this whole queue is by doing the standby line. So
correct.
It's just something to keep in mind. It's a really great queue, and you may want to do it at least once. Like, go during extra magic hours or something, especially if you're staying on site.
For us, that didn't necessarily work out, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, Sarah's watching up in Chicago. She's actually at the airport getting ready to get on her plane down to Walt Disney World. So shout out to Sarah. Have a great trip. Enjoy Pandora. Hey. And Sherry down there, a great friend who volunteers for all the Red Disney events. I love seeing her out on the course. She said she loved it. It was breathtaking. It was amazing. Great review. She says awesome attraction. Now, we can't stay too long on this one. We got to kind of hit everything because, again, I want to get this in here so everybody gets a better experience. People are going down, you know, right now. So tell me about the Navi River Journey, Pam. What was that all about, and how do you best experience that?
So it really is a boat ride, like a Small World type attraction, I guess, to some degree, although it just in that it's a boat ride. You'll enter a boat and you kind of venture into their world, which is I think the best way to describe it. It really is all like the bioluminescence. So this is where you're going to get your fill of bioluminescence. I think it's going to be a great place to go when you want to cool off because it's dark and you're on a boat and it's air conditioned. So it makes you feel really cool. But I will say, when you reach the point where you see, you know, the main audio animatronic, it is fantastic. It's a great audio animatronic, maybe one of the best that Disney has done. And it really just kind of flows in perfectly with the rest of the ride, but just a great job. I think they put little nods in there to parts, you know, characters that you may become more familiar, or all the little things that exist in the world of Pandora. And I think they did a great job in this, because it's an attraction that most people will be able to experience with no problems. There's no height restriction on this.
There's no drop. I've heard people ask, there's no drop.
No drop. The only issue I've heard is, if you are in a wheelchair, you will need to be able to transfer from your wheelchair into the ride vehicle. But yeah, and the other great thing I wanted to mention about this queue is, and also the Flight of Passage, is that Disney has installed kind of water bottle fillers, like water fountains that can also fill your water bottle. This is the first time really we've seen this at Walt Disney World. And I think it's a great option for folks to take advantage of. So if you're someone who uses a Contigo or some other kind of water, refillable water bottle, this will be a place where you can get that filled during your time in the queue.
That almost fits in with the theme of the land. That's crazy. I mean, it's utilitarian and thematic.
Do that.
That's smart. So now, is there any, so what are the tips for this? You know, everybody can ride it. Sounds like it's going to be, you know, one of those things, kind of like the Omni Mover of a land, where you can get in, everybody enjoys it. You see a lot of cool stuff. But are there any tips? Like, how many do the boats hold approximately? Is there any better seats? Is there anything like that?
They're small. The boats are small. They really don't. It's not nearly as large as a small world boat ride vehicle. I think there are maybe three.
There's
rows
two
of
rows.
Seats.
There's two rows.
There just two?
There's
really?
Only two. Yeah. Okay. And each row could seat up to four people, but I mean, it would have to be like two adults and two children, like situation. Yeah. You're probably gonna fit, you know, maybe three adults in each row if you just have all adults, maybe. So,
and I think it's gonna be one of those things where either the first or second row is gonna provide decent seating or decent viewing. I don't think that one's gonna be remarkably better than the other. It is, but they seem to really move through there. When we were there, they were moving people through there well. So maybe I wonder if that a reduced number of rows of people actually help them load that boat faster. I don't know. There's got to be a reason behind whatever they chose to do. I don't know what those reasons are, but it was all moving very fast when we were there. So
I will also say it's not an e-ticket boat ride. I don't want people going in thinking, oh, it's going to be an e-ticket. It's not. It's more like a C or D. I've said this, and, you know, that's not to disappoint people, but that's more to just, you know, lower expectations to the right percentage, because I think that people are like, oh, they're both going to be great e-ticket attractions. This is what Animal Kingdom needed. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a very good way. Animal Kingdom did not have really a family ride like this. They certainly didn't have a boat ride like this. They really desperately needed something like this attraction in Walt Disney World. So in Animal Kingdom. So I'm really happy to see that they did something like this at Disney's Animal Kingdom, because this was so desperately needed in the park.
And it's, you know, I'm hypothesizing that, you know, maybe they wanted to create a more intimate experience, because I think with your relation to, you know, nature and all that stuff, that if you're on a big old, say, like Pirates boat or, you know, a Small World boat, it's not, you don't get that intimate feel with the environment. And I feel this is very much about experiencing the environment of Pandora more than just seeing, you know, dolls from around the world. You think that could be a reason?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think they were really thinking about the guest experience when they created this whole land. And I think, you know, this ride in particular really gives you a great exposure to what they were thinking. But I think the other thing about, especially about Pandora in general, was not only do you have these two attractions, but I really consider the land itself an additional attraction. Yeah. It is it is really just that spectacular. And to be able to experience it during the day and also at night and have different experiences both times is something that guests are going to want to think about.
Well, that's kind of what I want to hop into as we wrap the show. You know, we've talked about the two big attractions, which have been getting all the press. But, you know, I kind of feel the same way. And I really felt that the day I was watching when there was a 75-minute wait to get into Pandora to get to the attractions, which I thought that was irony in itself. But I think that shows that Disney did something special here, that when you want to get in to experience the environment, that's pretty cool. You know, because you have the Santuli Cafe. Or whatever it is.
Canteen.
You know, so you have the dining location. I'll get it all once I get it. I got to have some context. I'm trying to stay away from it, honestly. You know, I want to be able to experience it. So, Ricky, tell us about what's unexpected about the land, or is there something that, you know, maybe you could walk past that, you know, that'd be a shame that you would miss that while you're there? Well, tell us about the land in general.
I mean, there's so much that's unexpected about the land. There's just the beauty of the land itself. I mean, that was one of the things that I had people ask me, you know, what are you most excited about the land? And it really wasn't for me. It never was the rides. The rides themselves were never something that I was like, yeah, you know, that sounds awesome, you know, but that's because I didn't have really a connection to the movie. It's not one of my favorites. It's not a movie that I go back and watch. It's obviously, I've only seen it one time plus what I saw this weekend. So, you know, I don't have that connection. But the one thing that I was most interested in seeing was the land itself. And, you know, there are some great hidden touches. There's some great things. Don't miss the drum circle. We, you know, just by chance saw it, a little bit of it. And I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch that. I think it was just great to see something like that happening in the land. It gave it more of a tribal feel. You know, it was a great little show that they put on, and I think it was really fantastic. And then the other thing is there's a plant that's at the front, and I don't want to spoil too much, but it will interact with guests. So I think that that's pretty cool too.
That's good stuff, because I don't want to miss anything, you know what I mean? Because, you know, again, if I miss it, though, I'll go back. Maybe I'll see it on the fifth time, which is always a good thing. So, Pam, what about you? Tell us about the environment of Pandora. What stood out to you?
So I think one of the things you're going to want to do is interact with the cast members there who are actually part of the Alpha Centauri experiment.
They play it up, let me tell you. Yes,
they do. So basically, when you're entering Pandora, you're actually leaving Earth and going to Pandora. And don't think that you have to know anything about the movies for this to be fun or interactive or even for you to get more from it. But the cast members are there. The ACE, the ACE Explorers are there to help guide you through and just interact with them. Ask them questions. The plant that Ricky had talked about earlier that is interactive, you know, the cast members there told us a little more about that and, you know, what is, I don't want to give too much away, but just that the result of the interaction with guests resulted in something near there. So ask them about that. Also, there are two Wilderness Explorer stops in the world of Pandora. Those are like the little booklet that you can get at Animal Kingdom where kids and adults alike can stop at certain places throughout the park and learn more about the park and other things like that. So there are two locations there. You can get two Wilderness Explorer badges in Pandora, and those cast members are extremely knowledgeable. That's something that you'll want to do. And then, of course, you know, the other thing that you'll absolutely want to do is plan time to be there at night, because the bioluminescence is really... I know that so many people prior to the land opening thought, oh my gosh, they're playing this up a little too much, right? I don't know that they played it up enough. It's really that spectacular. Just something like you haven't ever seen at a Disney park before. So make sure that you spend time in there at night too.
So let me sneak this in too, Pam. I'm going to ask you this because I saw you post something on the Magic for Less Facebook group just a couple days ago. You were showing the foods, and the foods are very bright colored. They're very themed. I mean, as far as the appearance of them, are you missing out if you don't eat in Pandora? Is this a must do, or is it something like you're still good with eating Flame Tree, Yak and Yeti, you know, whatever you want to do? What do you think?
You're missing out.
Yeah. I agree with Pam. I absolutely
do. Is. So this is, first of all, if you're on one of the dining plans, this is going to be a great location for you to use your quick service credit. You're going to get a lot of value from that. So that's one thing to start with. But whether you're on the dining plan or not, I say eat here. It's a totally new concept for a Disney quick service location. First of all, you have ordering through the app, and this is the first time we've seen this. Although we hear it's going to roll out to other locations, this is the first location where it's available. So that's something that you can do and save yourself waiting in line. But secondly, it's just a new way of doing things. So basically what you do is you start with a base, and that base will either be a regular potato and sweet potato hash, a vegetable medley, a kale and romaine salad, or a rice. So you pick one of those bases. So then you pick a protein, and the protein is either chicken, beef, fish, or tofu. And then you pick a sauce or a dressing that goes with that. And the combinations, you know, there's a lot of different combinations. There's three different sauces to choose from as well. We tried all of the different proteins at different times because we went back a few times.
Yeah.
And the chicken was fantastic. It really is great chicken. And they're cooking it right there where you walk in.
Amazing. The chicken is phenomenal.
Kind of an open pit there. Not open, but it's behind glass, so it doesn't make the restaurant too hot. But they're cooking the steak and chicken right there that you can see it. It's really good. Now, in addition to these bowls that you can choose from, there are also these little pods that some folks have heard about. There's a cheeseburger like bun sort of. It's sort of like an Asian steamed bun in that there's a filling included inside this like carby bun bread thing.
I'm in. Give me one. I'm so hungry right now. We're recording early and I haven't had dinner. You guys are killing me. Go ahead.
So there's a cheeseburger one, and then there's also a vegetable curry one. They're both really great. They have two unique beers at the Setuli Canteen. One is a green flavored grog beer, and then they have a Moara Mountain Brew too. Both good. They're an ale. They're both good. They have some other drinks that they make right there in the canteen to choose from, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. And then in addition, they have two great desserts, and one of them being the blue dessert that has been much talked about. But then there's also a good chocolate dessert as well.
It's very good.
So I think the food there was just really good, incredibly fresh, different, and they do have a kids menu as well, which has, you know, more traditional things as well as the meals that you'll find there. So I think that you are kind of missing out if you don't visit that. I think it enhances your experience. I just think that it's something that you're going to want to do.
You know how we talked about how Disney's Hollywood Studios does not have any counter service choices? Disney's Animal Kingdom now has a ton of choices. It's so hard to choose which one you want to go to now. Like, seriously. I mean, even Brian said, Brian does not like dessert, okay? Brian does not really eat dessert. He thought that blueberry cheesecake thingy was the best dessert he's ever had. Like, absolutely loved it. So, I mean, this is from a guy who does not eat dessert very often at all. So, I mean, the food at Setuli Canteen is fantastic. I am so disappointed I did not try the pineapple spring rolly thing with the cream cheese because the line was too long and I was not waiting in that. So, next time. There's always next time, right? So.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's a great problem to have, you know, so much counter service that you're just like, oh, today, you know, I only get to, you know, I only have one stomach, you know, and only have, you know, one lunch and one dinner, you know, or maybe a fourth meal at, you know, late night extra magic hours. Maybe that's what you do. You save, you know, if you really are a Flame Tree fan or really a Yak and Yeti or, you know, some other thing, you know, Tiffin's, maybe you save, Tiffin's is there, but you know what I'm saying? Like you save the Santuli Cafe will that still be open late at night with these extra magic hours? Is it going to close?
I honestly don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
sorry.
Got a hankering for stuff, you know, when it gets to be midnight in a Disney park, man, I'm telling you, you get the hunger pains, something fierce a lot of times. So,
That's all right.
So let's wrap this. I think you've given great information for folks that are heading down. This is awesome. Without too many spoilers, and I give you credit for that too. But, you know, the biggest thing that we've seen so far is the crowds. You know, this is overwhelmingly popular. You know, people have been clamoring for this. The crowd showed up. They're there. They're going to stay. We can't look into a crystal ball and guess. And I would imagine the thing I see is that while it's not new for the folks that have been there last weekend, it's going to be new for people for the next 2 years, you know, because like when I go down in July, I'm going to hit it because it's new to me, you know, and everybody's right. next trip, this is new to them. So you're going to go right there and check out Pandora. So let's try to give our guests, you know, and our listeners here some kind of a strategy from you guys were there on the ground. Of course, you know, you saw it in different ways. Pam, what's the best advice you can give to somebody as far as getting in Pandora, but also not blitzing their whole vacation plan at this point?
Well, first of all, as long as you have FastPass Plus arrangements, you don't have to wait in that line to get into the land. So I've seen people that are really disappointed about the wait to get into the land, but I'm really struggling with this, and I'm struggling to say this in a way that, you know, people can accept, but this is a brand new land. If you thought that you were just going to be able to waltz into it during the first few days of its opening
without and just walk right in.
Yeah. I think it was very unrealistic to think that. And I understand disappointment, but we've all known this is coming. So one of the first pieces of advice I'm going to say is please make FastPass Plus arrangements. And by the way, they're still available. I just made some for our trip in July, the beginning of July, with my family, like within the last day or two. They're still there. So one of the things that I'll also suggest is stay on site, because you get to make the FastPass Plus arrangements at 60 days. So you're going to see a lot more availability. So if you want to see this world this summer, there's still plenty of time to plan a vacation, because right now we're only booking, you know, only on-site guests are booking 60 days in advance. So that's only putting us through part of, you know, we have June and July, you know what I mean? So there's still lots of opportunities to do that. So make sure that you do that. And if you want to see the land in the evening, then make your FastPass Plus arrangements for that time so that you'll never encounter any problems entering the land at that time. I think that those are the biggest things that you can do to make sure that you get to see this. But seriously, there are many folks on social media who are invested in complaining, I will say, for one reason or another. They have a motive behind those complaints. Don't let things like that impact or scare you from being able to experience that. We walked right in. We had a fast pass and we walked right in on the first day it was open. I mean, you know, there are issues. They're working through some of them.
I know, I was going to say, it wasn't packed on that opening day.
No.
There were lines. Don't get me wrong. The lines were long. There were definitely lines. But the reason why the lines were so long on the outside to get into the land was because they didn't pack everybody into the land to begin with. So that's why there were long lines of 2-hour waits or 3-hour waits or whatever just to get into the land. It's because they didn't throw everybody into the land all at once and say, here you go, free for all. No. Like,
they're doing fantastic crowd control, and they've been very, very cognizant about the way that they're letting people experience this land. Even during the busiest times we were there, there was still plenty of room for us to walk around. I never felt as crowded as I do watching the fireworks on Main Street. I mean, it's open. They're doing a good job of giving people enough space, and I think you just have to respect that process.
And Janet's saying in the Facebook live chat, and shout out to Michael, who's watching live at a Riverside while his kid plays on the playground. My favorite place. Tell Baba said hello if you go to the show tonight. There was no show tonight, but next time you're there. She's asking, you know, she couldn't get fast passes for Flights of Passage for mid-June, you know, kind of a last minute trip here. So her best bet is to rope drop and head straight there, right? I mean, is that still the best advice, just like anything else?
I would either do that or consider, if you're staying on the site, there's extra magic hours. First of all, Animal Kingdom's open until 11 p.m. until the July 4th time, and who knows if that will be extended or not. We'll have to see for that. But if you're staying on site, there are extra magic hours every night from 11 until 1. So consider going during one of those times as well. I think that you'll be able to see, you know, the crowds decrease, especially if you can stay a little later.
Sounds good. Ricky, anything else? And then we'll get out of here and turn everybody loose for the weekend. And everybody's got to watch Avatar. That's your homework.
You know, I just think, you know, going along with what Pam said is manage your expectations of how long you think you're going to wait in line. You know, yes, the land is brand new right now, so you are going to see some longer wait times, and they're going to creep up there. I think as we get through this initial push and, you know, through summer, it's going to moderate hopefully a little bit. You know, we'll get back to, you know, some more. Because right now, you know, you're hearing that the land is closing early, you know, so that they can sweep the day guests out so that they can get the extra magic hour guests in. And then that causes a long line for extra magic hour guests. So, like, you know, you're hearing about these really long lines right now. And I think that it will work itself out. You know, it's just going to take some time after. And, you know, they opened it on a busy weekend, too. So it was Memorial Day weekend. They hadn't had, you know, they had some annual pass holder previews, but they hadn't had any, like, at night, that kind of thing. So, you know, there was obviously a lot of interest in the nighttime experience that nobody had really saw until the opening night. So just kind of be cognizant of that, that, you know, you may have to wait in line at night if you want to go to the extra magic hours. But they should get you through pretty quickly into the land, and then you may have to wait a long time to actually get on the ride. But you know, at least you're there, so that's a good thing too.
All right, well, sounds great. I'm super pumped for Pandora. Can't wait to get down there. You know, I have just a little bit over a month to get down there before the cruise, the beginning of July, and headed straight over to check it out. So, ladies, you did a great job of not spoiling anything. You know, you gave us great advice without spoiling the experience. That's tough to do. So, well done. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was our pleasure.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less. Just like Pam said and I said at the top of the show, it's still not too late to get down there for the summer. You got more than Pandora. You got Happily Ever After and lots of happenings over at the studios as well. This is going to be a summer to remember and make some memories down at Walt Disney World. We're going to be down there too in July. We'd love to see you at the parks and the resorts. So just drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. You and I are going to sit down and plan out a great summer vacation, because if there's one thing I'm great at, it's planning Walt Disney World vacations in the summer. I do this every year. It's my favorite time to go. I know it's hot, but it's hot here in St. Louis. I'd rather be in a pool or having fun at Disney than out in my backyard getting, you know, bit by mosquitoes. So let's work together. Let's get you down there. Let's get you on a Banshee. Let's have some fun riding and seeing some Na'vi. Just drop by themagicforless.com and fill out that free no obligation quote today. Also, don't forget today's show brought to you by our great friend Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Don't forget to support the show on Amazon. Next time you do some shopping online, you guys have done so awesome with that. It's really, really, really helping. Just go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That costs you exactly the same and it gives us a little bit of kickback from Amazon. Really helps support what we do here. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And don't forget Lizards, all of our runners. We have over 1,100 running Lizards on the squad. We're all running together tomorrow morning. That's right, June 3rd. Just check out the Lizard group. Joe Fickus has everything posted there. We're going to get out there early in the morning, not really early, but kind of mid-morning there for the folks on the East Coast of the United States. We're going to adjust those time periods around the world. We're going to all try to run around the planet at the same time and just post those pictures, those selfies with your power punch or with your tongue out, whatever you want to do. We're going to have a great time running as a squad all around the world tomorrow, June 3rd. And we're going to all try to drop in a little bit of money for Give Kids the World as well, support our favorite charity. So check that out today. Also, give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. Great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to turn you loose. Go grab a DVD or download on iTunes. You got to watch a lot of blue people for like 7 hours so that you're ready to visit Pandora. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Thanks so much for checking in. We love it when you download the show. Thanks so much for your support, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.